Welcome to the Gestalten podcast, presented to you by Concept House Innovation Consultancy, your number one source when it comes to consulting services within the design transportation industry, as well as academy services for your needs and your development of your staff. My name is Martin Groschwald, and in this episode, which for us here internally is a very big one because it's the 50th episode of the Gestalten podcast. I never thought that we actually going to get that far, but thank you very much to all the listeners and supporters of our little show, and I hope you enjoy it for the next 50 as much as you did for this 50. And this is a first for us as well. This is the first guest who's been on the podcast for a second time, and we're talking about Christian Eckert, the CXO of Icon Mobile in California. And we actually started talking about his job title in a little bit more detail, which is the Chief Experience Officer. And we played a little bit of a brain exercise on how we can implement that into the car industry, what kind of effect that would have, who's reporting into who, and what this would mean for the entire future of car design if we would have a CXO. So I hope you enjoyed this little exercise that we both had. It was super nice to talk to him about it because we just didn't stop. And let us know what you think, and let's go. Hello and welcome back, Christian Eckert. How are things?
Martin, thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure.
Again, indeed it is. And obviously to the avid listener of the Gestalten podcast, they know you already. So I'm going to leave a little bit of an introduction out of this already, and we jump straight into what we want to talk about. And a small disclaimer to all the listeners that are maybe a little bit more in the area of physical design and a little bit of exterior and interior. We have a little bit of an experiment in front of us now, Chris and myself, because Chris's official job title is Chief Experience Officer. And when I saw this on your signature, on your email, I found this very interesting. And you obviously told me that this got you quite a few conversations as well. And we had a little bit of a pre-talk, and we talked a little bit before about this as well. But I really want to jump into this, and I want to ask a question up front, just to kind of say for our listeners to understand what we want to go towards. And if you work on exterior design, interior design, color and trim, the question of this episode is, what would happen if your boss is not a physical designer anymore? What if your boss is an experienced designer? What if your boss is a chief experience officer? So, that's why I invited Chris again to have this episode on the podcast. And Chris, why don't you just try to define a little bit what you understand as a chief experience officer before we dive in much more deeper in this role and what we believe this role might be in the future?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the chief experience officer overall and in general is really an executive who's responsible for the overall experience of an organization's services and products. So really making sure that every aspect of a user's interaction with a company and a brand and its products and services is great at the end of the day. So it's really making sure that all the touch points and across the entire customer journey, the customers and the users have a great experience.
And because the CXO, if we put it that way, is something that we really haven't come across in today's world. But what we have come across more and more now is the CDO, so the chief design officer. What's the difference for you when it comes to the CXO to the CDO?
That's a good question. I would say, first of all, if an organization has a CDO or a design officer, that's already great, because design obviously is very important. So to give that priority in an organization is already great. But I think the main difference to me between a CXO and a CDO would be that the chief design officer, with its very important role, really focuses on creating a beautiful product, focuses really on the aesthetics and brand, both maybe digital, but also from an analog perspective, the physical experience. But the chief experience officer really would then more define what is really important for the customer and the users. What is the experience that we want to create? What are the feelings we want to create? So the CXO has a way deeper focus on user experience, not just, so to speak, the aesthetics, but would then work very closely with the chief design officer and also the chief product officer to define, okay, what are the product features? What are the design experience we want to create? And that ideally this would happen across all the touch points. So the CXO, for example, in the mobility context would not just focus on the car. That's one part, but it would also, that person would also define the experience across all the channels, from the car to your mobile phone, to the website, to the charging station, to the experience on a booth at a show, for example. So really across all these touch points, and then would work closely with the designer and also would help define priorities. So what is really important for the user at the end of the day? What makes a difference and helps create this great experience and also helps create more revenue at the end of the day?
Let's take this a little bit further. Because you just mentioned, obviously, the CXO, you mentioned it's the CPO, which is the product officer and the design officer. Now, if I were to ask you about structuring this, so if we would start a new car company or like any kind of product company and, you know, develop something new, would you say the best setup is the chief experience officer has the product and, you know, let's say haptic or physical design or design person under his or her belt? Would they be on the same level, or where do you see the most efficient structure for something like this to happen? Because I think if we look into the car industry nowadays in particular, but also in like the product industry, companies like Apple and stuff like that, they have all these guys, and oftentimes it's the design and then it's the UX reports into design. So there's a certain kind of structure and hierarchy already. So if you want to disrupt, if you think that we have to do things differently, how would you structure it where you believe this is the best way to push it forward?
Well, you know, if you want to be bold and really think very differently, then I would definitely put the chief experience officer at the very top and really think always and for everything from a user's perspective across everything, what the company does. And this also requires to align, of course, business goals with, you know, technology and design. But like at the end of the day, the user experience, the customer experience is the thing that builds the relationship with the users. A great experience is the strongest thing you can do as a brand, because this relationship that you build, this stays even if, for example, the business model will change. And with this, in this new era of mobility, you know, it can be that today you're an OEM creating fantastic cars, but actually in 10 years from now, you're just an app, because you're a rideshare company, a car share company. And if you, though, create this very strong relationship with the user and the customer, then this stays even if this changes. So this set of people, they would stay and stick with you even if you're not selling just cars anymore, but you're just an app. And so this is why I think thinking from the experience from the very top and then working down and having priorities made up from the user's perspective, I think that's the way I see and hope to see in the future way more, especially if everything becomes more and more digital. It's outside the vehicle, but also inside the vehicle. Just look at how the interiors have evolved over the last generations of cars, from no screens to all screens, from AVs to EVs, basically from rideshare to shared drive. So basically, this huge shift really impacts everything. And so I think to have something that oversees all these touch points and then makes the priorities and also helps define what the designer should focus on, I think that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. I think what you just mentioned with the definition is a fundamental point. I think what a lot of people misunderstand about these, you know, chief and then a small X in the sense of like, you know, insert which kind of area of like, you know, executive level you are, officers, they have to do is to define. They're not necessarily building the product. They're not necessarily, you know, designing the product or like, you know, creating and everything. It's about the definition. And for me personally, because obviously a lot of the audience that listens to the podcast is coming from a car background, is coming from a product background. And they might be thinking right now, it's like, oh, so a guy who, you know, who's not even understanding the difficulties of creating a product physically is now going to lead us. How is that going to work? So how important is that definition to get also those guys that, you know, are experts in their respective fields? And we will talk about these specific fields that I think will be led by this CXO guy, are really of importance. And how do you think that somebody who's not an expert in, let's say, transportation design, car design, can really lead those kind of guys and define what they're, you know, what in the kind of direction they're supposed to go in the best possible way?
Yeah, well, what if you flip this and ask, how can a, you know, car designer lead a digital team, which is maybe also very tricky in a way, if you think about this, as many car companies are set up these days. But first of all, of course, you're only as strong as your team is, right? And I think, of course, you always have to listen to your experts. You just have to create the overall vision, create KPIs, and make sure that the overall experience strategy is in place. And then, of course, allow your specialists and experts in their fields to come up with the best solutions, respectively. I mean, I'm not a car designer, right? I would never even think about coming up with proposals for interior exterior designs. That's not my field of expertise. But what I could do is come up with an experience strategy, an experience vision, and then work with these folks to kind of translate that into the physical experience across all senses, for example, also. So I think one of the projects we did, for example, at Icon Mobile last year was to work with an EV company here in California that plans to really redefine the whole product lineup. And originally, for example, they approached us and asked, hey, can you guys help us with UX design, UI design, creating an amazing HMI? And we told them, yes, of course, we're the best in that field, and we can totally do that. But what you actually need first is a strategy, a really great experience strategy. And we kind of flipped the script. And for more than, you know, half a year, we didn't even think about a pixel or UI or UX. We only thought about what's the business model, what are services, what are potential products, who is your target group, how can we differentiate that brand from all the other EVs or other car companies and mobility providers out there. And then only when we had a really strong experience strategy in place that would, for example, also define who to hire, you know, what mindset you need in a company, how would you design the organization based on that experience strategy. Only then we start to think about, okay, next step is to translate that into an interior architecture, for example, and then going deeper into, okay, the digital design. And then, of course, you work super closely with the leaders in those areas. But really, the experience strategy defines everything else, including what products and services to offer.
So just to stick a little bit to, you know, and stay within the area of this physical design and taking the example of a car, if we were to move into this situation right now, which is a little bit unrealistic because I don't think there's a lot of companies that have a lot of potential to implement something radical, I think is the best word for it. But if you would be now the CXO of a car company, what would you expect from your car designers compared to maybe what they know right now or the way they work right now? Would you change processes? Would you change, you know, how you would expect them to think about stuff? Because that's also an intellectual exercise when you come from an experience and you have to translate that into a physical product.
Good question, Martin, as always. Well, You know, first of all designers are very creative people, and more and more, of course, we can already see designers working across disciplines, which is great. I think overall, I'm always a very big believer of thinking as holistically as possible. So I was definitely thinking, how can we translate a certain aesthetic into both the analog world and the digital world? Thinking all senses, being very open to also new technologies, of course, and how we can, you know, technology should never be the driver. Like, let's not just use a technology because it's out there, but more like an enabler. This is where, again, the experience would define what technology even makes sense and what technology we should have based on the experience we would like to create. And so I think, for example, I think it's more bringing more disciplines together, working more holistically, less silos, which we still have oftentimes. And this, for example, also in our studio, you know, I don't necessarily hire UI designers anymore or UX designers, but it's a digital product designer, and the UX designer has to also think about UI design and vice versa. And so I think like a blend and being more open and thinking across analog and digital, I think would be very important. And also I think, and this is why we have product designers more and more than, as I said, just UI UX designers, is because you also think more about the user and the business goals that you also have. You know, what do we really want to achieve? And I think to think more and more in terms of product design will be key moving forward. And that's one thing, for example, when I had the pleasure to lead the UI UX team at Faraday Future a while ago, one of the things I'm kind of pretty proud of is that we were able to change the structure also back there, because we had a more, let's say, traditional setup of a car design studio with exterior designers and interior and UI UX. But we put a lot of focus on, let's change that and let's become more a technology company that does also mobility, and instead of being a car company with some tech. And so we kind of transformed the UI UX design team into a digital product team, which is what you would find more at Google, Facebook, and so on. And so this means that within the digital product team, you had UI designers, you had UX designers, but most importantly, you have product owners, product managers who define the features based on the overall experience vision, and software developers. So you have the teams working together, executing against the experience vision. And also, that team was not just responsible for the car, but also how do we create the app that is your remote control or your door into the mobility space? Or how do you translate that onto your website? How do you then create a booth for CES where you can experience that brand outside the car? So really across all these touch points. And I think that would be my dream setup. And that still was working, you know, very closely with the exterior and interior designers and color material, because it's really only as good as the team is working together holistically.
Mm. You mentioned something, you know, which I always find very difficult, which is the silos. And of course, whenever you have teams that are specializing into something, silos are almost created, you know, like right away. Because they think like, oh, we have to do this and we have to do that. So nurturing and, you know, enforcing this kind of non-silo thinking is, of course, one of the biggest challenges that management in general has. But if we were to take this idea of a chief experience officer, and we already said that probably in this context that we're talking at the moment, the product design, the haptical design, the physical design would be also under the CEO. What other areas would you say should report to that kind of position? Not to create silos again, I want to try to avoid that, but which kind of areas do you think should be reporting into that position to make the best out of a potential experience for the user?
I think, and not necessarily reporting into that role, but, you know, I think CXO and chief product officer should work extremely close together, and also chief marketing, and probably even sales, because, you know, as also as we are now in this new era of mobility, where, for example, also the modes of ownership changes, and that I'm maybe not owning a car anymore, I'm not buying a car, I'm leasing a car, I'm subscribing to a car, that is changing. And so you would also need to think, okay, how can we create that experience also consistent and cohesive in a new way of owning a car, because it's just a subscription service, but also marketing, because the ways how we buy, sell, learn about a car or a mobility company also changes a lot these days, especially now when all, you know, in COVID-19 times where there is no car show. So where do I go for a test ride? I do maybe a virtual ride, you know, with VR. I maybe can, you know, see my car in front of my house with AR apps. We create maybe virtual shows that I can go and experience a brand. And all of that needs to be speaking with the same language and the same brand and user experience, basically. And so this is why, you know, the CXO should probably not be the super duper position, because again, it's really bringing everything together. But I think it's way more about bringing product marketing together and creating this holistic, cohesive user experience across everything, from the very first time I even learn about this product or the brand or the company, to how can I get this product, and then I have it and I experience it. Then maybe I change from, again, like the car to just the mobile app, because I'm switching to the car share service of the same brand. But this needs all to be one language. And that's not just visuals, that's really features and the business strategy behind it as well.
You know, it's interesting that you say this, because like if I put this structure into my head and try to explain it, it almost seems like you have, obviously the CEO, somebody needs to be in charge as well, but you could define it a little bit further. You could even say, like, we have the chief experience officer, and we have a, you know, chief technology, or like a chief engineering officer, or manufacturing, or something like that, depending on what it is. But it sounds to me that, you know, positions that are oftentimes now pushed forward, such as marketing, sales, have to make it really work, fall under the experience, because otherwise the diversion of what they want to do is just too much. I mean, you know, when we talk about car shows, when we talk about, you know, new developments such as esports, you oftentimes see that marketing has a completely different idea to what, for example, the greater company wants to do. And in some areas that's probably needed, because it's such a different and new market. But it oftentimes then sees like, oh, this is different, or like, you know, is this is really fit into the kind of process? So what do you think about this? I mean, realistically, I can see, okay, product design, or like, you know, transportation design being parallel to that. I could get that, but it's almost like marketing and sales needs to be under the experience to really be implemented in the best possible way.
That would be ideal. Yes, that would be ideal. But as a first step, if we have one holistic experience strategy that really defines then also how to execute marketing initiatives, sales initiatives, and everything else, that would be already a great first step. And of course, to come up with this experience strategy, by the way, that's not what only the CXO and the team would build, but that is where all the stakeholders come in place, which is really, really important. So when we, going back to this project we did last year, this was not like just the design team coming up with an experience strategy. It was the opposite. It was really us leading efforts, talking to the CEO, the marketing officer, the design officer, the chief engineer, everything really, and bringing this all together, bringing all the needs and goals together, but then unifying it into a holistic experience strategy. So you have the buy-in from everyone from the very beginning, because you need that input from the different departments. But yes, then to have someone who makes sure that everything is cohesive and speaks the same language and supports the same goals to reach the same KPIs. Yes, of course. If you have a very strong CXO or CXO group at the top, That would be perfect.
Where do you see development points in that? Do you think that this position would also push for new areas to be worked on? I mean, you know, we can talk about service design. We can talk about, you know, implementing things into, I've mentioned esports earlier because, you know, the new PlayStation 5 was just presented and, you know, Gran Turismo is going more and more into this esports, of course, and there's, you know, much other games and stuff like that. How is that leadership of these new ideas, in particular with service design and also business design? Yeah. So what can the business be in the future? Which kind of other, you know, income methods, revenue streams can be created to that? What is the best setup for this? This is like, you know, the CXO is leading that with the strategy, or do you also have to continuously adjust the strategy because the teams come up with new ideas and keep that flexibility into the company?
Well, these days, you always have to be flexible, as no one really knows what will happen in 3, 5, 10 years. As we can see right now, right? Like, who would thought we would be in this situation where we are right now globally? So, of course, you need to be extremely flexible, but you also need to be very dynamic and fast because everything changes so quickly. And therefore, you need to have a very strong strategy and a very, very strong vision, because as long as you have a very strong vision where you want to be and you're flexible enough how to get there, you can always adapt, which I think is very important. And I think it's also about having, you know, doing small steps and being and launching something, really bringing more the approach from a tech world into mobility space. And it's changing. And I know it's super tricky sometimes because it's not necessarily about shipping the perfect car anymore. As you can see with Tesla, Tesla definitely not, you know, the most advanced exterior design or the, you know, the highest quality build. And even the software has some bugs sometimes, but people don't care. This is why Tesla is still the most, or is, you know, the most valuable company in that space. Because why? Because they accept the fact that, yes, you know, a month later I get a software update and maybe have even more range, or I get a new feature, and it constantly kind of like delights my experience because it's being improved on and on and on. Of course, it doesn't mean they should ship a shitty product, right? Of course. But you can really focus on a few things first, really master them, and then go from there and learn and learn. And this is why I think, coming back to your question also regarding future initiatives, absolutely. I think the CXO should totally drive that, because, again, I think you might change as a company, even though it's very tricky and very and it's maybe a long process, but maybe you have to become an app. And I know this can be, you know, sound frightening and everything, but maybe this is where you, in the long run, actually are going to survive and actually make generate more better revenues, more revenues, and then grow again. And you just need different people, you know. By the way, it doesn't mean that, you know, the shift to digital means that you need less people necessarily. You need different types of people probably, because you need to build different departments with different expertise and skills. And the thing what also comes in place here is that, you know, it's less and less about just one company doing something on their own. It's way more about an ecosystem, and you partner with other brands. You know, you need to bring in the best of other areas, especially in the digital space, because I'm expecting that my digital life is also seamlessly transferred into the mobility space, because I want to listen to my Spotify. I want to watch my Netflix in the car. I want to pay with my PayPal at the drive-in of Burger King or whatever. And so you need to be able to create that ecosystem of all these other partner experience, but still make sure that you as your company are very strong and build this relationship with your customer at the end of the day and user.
Obviously, we're talking in this, I don't want to say utopian world. It's probably utopian right now, exactly, in like terms of what we're talking, but thinking this a little bit further, and we've discussed this before we started the recording a little bit, we actually see this happening in the next 5 to 10 years, that this position, such as a CXO, could become a staple in a lot of companies. But which industries within, let's say, the mobility sector do you see most likely to adopt a system like that? Is it, I don't know, like an Uber? Is it like, I don't know, a BMW? Tesla is a little bit of a hybrid of a lot of things as well. So let's exclude them. But is it more new companies or like new technologies that will adopt that? Or will it be the old school ones because they understand that they need to change something?
Well, everyone has to. That's actually pretty clear to me. It's, you know, it's like the new ones for sure. If you are an Uber or whatever rideshare company, for example, this might be already in place. I don't know exactly the org chart of Uber, but I could imagine that someone thinking about holistic experience has a very important role there, I hope. And then they don't have actually physical products yet. They do have maybe some, you know, shared e-bikes or scooters, but of course nothing that is as complex as a car yet. But then if you think about, you know, Uber Elevate, when you have flying cars, flying taxis and so on soon. So I think then if I would be Uber, of course I would also coming from that Uber experience and then help define what the physical representation of that would look like. And same going the other way, because yes, even though we can see, unfortunately, that for many reasons, a lot of more traditional car companies now going back to, let's say, just doing great cars, which is also great, but like, you know, stopping sharing car share, ride share, and whatever, all these programs, and really go back to just be, so to speak, a car company. I still think the future will be more diverse, the future will be more multimodal, the future will be more than just even the mobility experience. And this is why what you brought up earlier with esports. Like we are, for example, just right now creating a new kind of a game in that, or a new entertainment format in that space where, you know, we bring together like gaming, esports, but also something physical, which we're going to launch in a few weeks. And why is this interesting? Because this is where the car companies can reach a totally new audience, you know, for example, on Twitch, and can promote their product experiences there in a totally different way. And so I think these kind of things are as important as the product experience itself. So I think the more holistic, the better. And so therefore, I think even if you are, so to speak, just a car company, a CXO will be super important because there are things you will always have. And the digital revolution, that's, you know, not going to stop or pause. And maybe it slows down a little bit, but it's going to happen. So it will be electric. It will be autonomous at some point. You might not own or buy it anymore. So these things are going to happen anyways. It's just a question when, and it takes maybe a little bit longer. It's funny because it's like a shift, like a revolution. It's just happening in slow motion a little bit. But it's going to happen. And if you look at the speed of change, for example, in China, you know, like how many car and also mobility companies and tech companies came up there over the last 5-10 years and how far they got already, you get a really good sense on the speed of change that we're going to see. And so I think, I think for both more traditional companies, it's even more important to have a very strong CXO role, and the more new tech companies or more digital focused mobility providers, so to speak, they have it already anyways.
I want to touch on something that you've mentioned earlier, which was the idea of physical and digital and going more and more digital. And in your perspective, as somebody who is a chief experience officer, but you know, elevate yourself into, you know, let's say, I don't know, you work with Lamborghini. And the reason why I mentioned Lamborghini is because they recently announced that they're not going to go to any more car shows. And how important in this kind of experience level will be the digital versus the physical side? And physical, not only in terms of the product, because of course, you know, if you have a phone in your hand, if you have a car that you get into, the physical perspective is very important in general, but this kind of idea of getting to know the product without owning it or without using it, you know, becoming in awe with something or getting familiar with something. Is that something that can be achieved completely digitally, or would you say we need to stick to a certain physical presentation? I mean, you know, Munich has the Munich Motor Show from Frankfurt next year that moved down here. Is these kind of physical shows, like, you know, getting closer to your potential clients, even important when you have a subscription service? And will it be important, or will it only be important for higher level companies, and then they just do it differently, as what, for example, Lamborghini just decided in doing private shows?
Well, I think I've been on, like, I don't know, hundreds of car shows in the past, and always had, you know, a great time on the one hand, but at the same time, it was for me never possible to even, like, I always saw just a friction of everything that was on these shows. You know, they're huge, like hundreds of cars, they're all polished, like hundreds, thousands, millions of people. You can't really get into the car even. So I think there's a room and a place for both. I think as you know, augmented reality, virtual reality, mixed reality, these experiences get more and more also, by the way, because now everybody's at home, everybody's video conferencing, everybody is shifting into digital space. So there's like also a huge shift in that space. You have way better technologies these days to create new ways of showcasing and demonstrating your product, for sure. I don't need to leave my living room anymore. I can browse cars, see different trim levels. I can learn my HMI system, can maybe already set up everything digitally. So when I get the car, everything is in there already. So I think I can do all these things. I can go for virtual test drives. That's one of the things we're doing right now, where I can take and select a certain car and then go for a test ride virtually. So you can do a lot. But also, I think at the end of the day, it's still a physical product. So for at least some people, like how the car really feels while driving, how the materials, the fabrics feel like, that's at this point a bit tricky if you do it only digitally, because, you know, user experience is all about creating an emotion at the end of the day, because we're humans and we're not yet designing for robots. This might change in the future, for sure, actually. But like right now, we design still for human beings. And so user experience is all about creating an emotion. And this is why I'm also always thinking about all the senses, you know, haptics, voice, or audio, scent, basically everything, right? Because we're humans. And so I think there's a space for everything, but I do absolutely think there are better ways to spend your marketing dollars than just renting the biggest booth at a car show and putting 50 highly polished cars onto the show floor. Also great, but I mean, look at, for example, the shift to new experiences into the gaming world with Travis Scott, for example. You know, this like super famous artist who just recently gave a concert in Fortnite. You know, and I don't know, we had like 18 or 20 million people watching this live event. And how many people would he have reached just as a show in a concert? So you cannot really compare it, but I think they can complement. And even if you have a real world experience with a physical experience, I would always now go and see how can we translate that into a more, you know, immersive experience. And maybe it doesn't need to be a car show, because again, also at the car show, you have all the brands next to each other. So to get attention from me as my brand, it's way harder than going to South by Southwest, or even CS has changed now, and who knows when there will be a CS again. But I always try to think differently anyways and do the opposite of what the others are doing, because this gives you more attention and you can be more unique. So I think, coming back to your question, there is definitely a place for both. But I think now is the time to really think differently and be brave and try out new things, which is maybe hard because COVID-19, economy, lots of challenges, absolutely get that. But that's exactly when we have to be innovative and be radical and rethink a few things, or everything, actually. So I think now is actually the best time to be brave, even though it's tricky. But I think now you can explore all these new things, and you have to, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is also, I mean, like why we started having this conversation about a CXO, because it's not just an exercise in terms of, you know, what could happen in the future, but it's something that you take from experience, you take from, you know, projects that you did, and you combine all of these things together. And I think the Travis Scott Fortnite event is perfect for that. It's not about everything needs to be copied into what's happening in the future, and everything needs to be exactly how it was in the past. It's more about, there is something that works in a new environment. How can we portray this, or like how can we process this to make it an interesting fact for maybe an established industry? Because I always have the feeling that these established industries, like, you know, manufacturing has picked it up a little bit more with, you know, the Industry 4.0 and all these things, but especially car companies, you know, product companies that have been doing the same thing for over and over again, and it was more like a evolution than a revolution, now need to look outside. And it's of course not easy, it's difficult, but this, you know, the more they look outside, the more they will understand, like, okay, maybe we have to adjust. And I think we're in this really interesting period at the moment, and with COVID pushing that and accelerating that, I think we will see a lot of development with a little bit of a delay, because I think it's not going to happen, you know, right away or in 2020, but we will start seeing these very strong developments 2021, 2022, 2023. And probably we will be, you know, remembering this in a few years' time and just like, oh yeah, like, you know, we discussed about the CXO, and now it's like a normal thing that's happening in the industry.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. For example, also retail. It's a car show is one thing, but would you now want to be one? I mean, who would like to go to a car show right now and sit in a car, touch everything that like 100,000 people have touched before? Maybe not so many people, besides just even being a space with that's fully crowded. But even retail experience, even think about outside mobility, you know, if you think about an Apple store, Microsoft flagship store, you know, when you used to have just all these devices everywhere, like laptops, phones, tablets, and you could just touch everything, take it, use it. But this is going to change as well. So we're also working with some companies to think, okay, how to redefine the future of retail? How can you create a new experience in these cool stores, in these flagship stores, without having just, you know, without just putting all these devices everywhere and you can just click and touch everything, but how can you create something that's maybe even more immersive and more exciting than just the product itself? I mean, what is the value anyways, really? If you look at the iPhone, for example, fantastic, beautiful product design, great technology, but the value for you as a user is not the, you know, the super polished glass or the aluminum frame or whatever. It's like the digital experience you have on top. Like your iPhone and my iPhone and everybody's iPhone is totally different, right? Like you have a very different experience, and one is very relevant for you with your iPhone, and I have one with mine. I wouldn't like yours, you probably wouldn't like mine, because what makes it exciting is that the power of the Mac Apple experience is what happens not with the physical piece, but with the apps that I have, with the connection to the cloud I have, with my user ID that makes it super easy to log in everywhere. It's seamlessly connected between my TV, my phone, my car. So that's what makes it really powerful. And I think we just see a shift to more and more of this. And yes, the COVID-19 definitely is also almost like a facilitator or it will push it for sure, I think, yeah. So there are also good things in that. There's always an opportunity in every challenging situation. I think that's one of the opportunities we have right now.
Indeed. And I want to finish the conversation off with not asking you the three questions, because you had them already and I'm not going to ask you again.
But I was a real surprise last time. I didn't even know about
it. that's part of it. You know, it should be coming out of a gut feeling, should be coming out of, you know, out of an emotion to have that as well. But I want to ask you one thing. If you could choose to become a CXO of any company at this moment in time where, and I want to say this, where you would believe is the most change possible in product and everything that's related to it, which one comes to mind first and which one would you like?
First of all, I'm very happy where I am. Right, because and so let me tell you why. Because A, we work with different brands, which is amazing, but we also work across different industries, and like we do work, for example, for mobility industry, but yes, we do amazing UI UX design for production vehicles, but we also then take this and can work on esports and retail experiences and marketing campaigns and VR experiences, right? Because we are so cross-functional, which is great. I think what is always important, and I don't even need to think about a brand necessarily, it would be where would you have really the power to change something, you know? Like where would that role have enough energy and power and support to be really able to make a change, even if it takes some time? I think that would be the most important thing for me, you know, if it's just like a, you know, certain companies have certain positions just because it looks good if you write about it, but in fact, they cannot really make or change anything. And so for me, it would be most important about to know how much support does this role have, how much power do you get, and how is the mindset of probably the rest of the company in terms of being open for change and innovation. And of course, that's your responsibility to kind of provide that vision and get everybody excited and on board. But every brand, every company with the right setup and energy can create amazing experiences, you know, any. It's just a question of how important is it and how much value do you put to this? And if you don't, if it's not important to us, then I think you're not going to be successful at some point anyways. So then economy takes care of this automatically.
Then let me ask you a little bit differently. If everything that you've just mentioned would come into practice at any kind of company, where would you see a development like this would be not necessarily most needed, but in the highest, you know, to put this in the best possible way, which company do you think would or could make the biggest leap forward at this moment in time if they were to give all these kind of freedoms that you've just mentioned and stuff like that? Do you think that, you know, one of them is, I don't even want to say underperforming, but there's so much more potential in them that you could say, like, for them, that would be great as an example?
Huh. That's a good question. No, I don't want to be too specific. I think about it, a specific brand, because, you know, I mean, you have great people in every company, and sometimes they're just not being heard and don't get or empowered to really drive change. You have very smart, creative people everywhere. Of course, I mean, and by the way, a lot of companies already trying a lot to kind of master this new era and the shift to the digital age. But I think it would be very exciting to kind of like go the other way around. You know, if I think about actually what if Netflix would design a car? What if Uber, well, probably Uber is working on cars, right, already. But maybe not. But like what if Spotify or Netflix or Disney would come up with a car, you know, really coming from the full experience and thinking totally outside the box and not, and of course, you know, having maybe the luxury to not having all this legacy of, you know, the manufacturing, all the processes and the structures. But I think to, you know, come from the experience perspective and then translate this into mobility, I think that would be probably even more exciting. If you think about, right, you know, right from the start, to think about it's only for AVs or only for the real estate experience. You only think about, okay, how can you create the best mobile office? How can you create, you know, what if Microsoft, Sony, what if Sony creates a car and they already, you know, showed something at CES, which was still kind of more traditional, I would say, but they could be way more radical in terms of like coming from, you know, the experience first and then think about a car. And maybe then you discover it's not going to be a car at all. It's something totally different. But I think that would be a pretty cool challenge, actually.
Well, let's, you know, we never know what's going to happen in the future. I mean, I had a conversation with Michael DiTullio, which was also a podcast, and we talked about what would happen if Nike would make a car, you know. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know, these are the kind of companies. So if you haven't listened to that yet, you know, I can only recommend it was a nice conversation with Michael, and shout out to him on this one as well. But yeah, so it would be great to see Netflix coming up with something like this, Disney as well. I could even imagine, you know, Warner Brothers, something like this, to like, you know, show us what they would think a vehicle could be like. But maybe we see that in the future, maybe not. But I definitely know what we're going to see in the future, and that will be Chris. both.
Even though you don't see me really now, but
yes, that's very true. That's very true. But obviously, like, you know, either when you're back in Germany or when I'm back in the US, we're going to go out for a drink. But we will certainly do another podcast, maybe a German one, you know, maybe an English one. We don't know yet. But, you know, the response for the first one was great. This one was really good fun as well. And I hope that all the listeners enjoyed our little exercise that we did here, and we hope you could follow us with this one. But yeah, Christian Ecker, thank you very much for once again joining me on the Gestalten podcast. And to all of our listeners, we hope you enjoyed this this episode as well. Don't forget to follow us on, you know, all the sites where you listen to us. If you are listening on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Always helps us to push up, you know, us in the respective categories a little bit. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, if you would like to, let's say this was a silly idea for us to talk about it, if you like this idea, you want to discuss it a little bit further, you know, leave some comments on the podcast, leave some comments on our LinkedIns or whatever. Feel free to contact us. And until that, Chris, thanks a lot once again for joining in.
Thanks so much for having me, Martin. Yes, always a pleasure.
Anytime. And to all of our listeners, you will hear back from us very soon with the next episode of the Gestalten podcast. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hello, dear listener. It's me again, Martin, with a very quick announcement. And usually we don't do outros, but this is a very special occasion. We will be on a summer break for the next few weeks. So you will hear back from us very likely in early September with the next episode of the Gestalten podcast. But in the meantime, we will enjoy some sun, some holidays, and hopefully, if the COVID situation allows us, a little bit of beach time as well. But in the meantime, enjoy the old episodes if you haven't listened to them. And don't forget to follow us on social media, connect with us on social media and all the kind of rating systems that you might listen to us to. Give us a 5-star rating and enjoy your holiday. We certainly will. And we will hear you back again in September.